Good evening, Azeroth, and welcome to episode 98 of the World of Goldcraft. As usual, I'm your host, the Lazy Goldmaker of thelazygoldmaker.com, and I'm going to be talking about goldmaking in World of Warcraft. As I do every week, I'll be talking through my week, what's going on with the game, and a discussion point. And this week, I'm going to talk a little bit about a post on the WoW Economy Reddit about someone who made 5 million gold profit in a week, flipping a single item. Of course, he didn't do it on a single realm. But that's a very interesting case study. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what he did and why it worked, and maybe how you can try to replicate that, or at least the types of characteristics to look for. Now, of course, the podcast is made available by my patrons that, amongst other things, get access to all episodes ahead of time, as well as everything I post on thelazygoldmaker.com. If you want to join us, you can do so at patreon.com/thelazygoldmaker. With also a new feature, you can now get an annual membership or pledge for a year at a time, which will give you a discount. So you'll get all of the rewards for the year, but you'll pay for just 10 months. So that's pretty exciting. But enough about that. Let's talk about gold making instead. So BFA, how did my week go? Well, I got in 3 repost sessions, barely. Just did one just before the last one just before recording here. I'm glad I did, because otherwise my sales would have been absolutely abysmal, but as they were, or as they ended up, it's 373,000 gold in sales, which is pretty bad, let's be honest, compared to my last week's. About 200k from BOEs, which means I'm now sitting at 22.5 million gold-ish. Now, of course, I'm expecting my sales to continue trending downwards, because I've sold out most of my BOEs on most of my realms, except for one where I managed to forget to change to the fire sale operation. But yeah, I'm just trying to get rid of all of them. I'm at 13.7 million gold in profit from BOEs. So that's nice. But yeah, sales should be trending downwards heavily now, because I'm not reinvesting anything, I'm not doing any crafting, I'm not really buying anything. So I'm not increasing the value of my auction, so for the next couple of weeks, it'll probably be like the last couple of BOEs I have, a couple of pre-crafted mounts, so, and then a very rare assortment of battle pets and crafted transmog. I also sold some mounts this week, which is very nice. I sold my first Vial of the Sands in a long time. And I sold the Panther, so that's cool. But yeah, going forward, it's probably going to be pretty bleak all the way up until about Shadowlands launch, when I'm planning to go hard again, essentially. So if we look at, or turn our attention over to Classic, let's see how Classic is doing. Right now, sitting at 3,900 gold, and I have another 2,700-ish gold on the auction house, which is at least a little bit more than I had last week. A little bit more. It's about 900 gold more gold. So that's nice. I've not been doing much gold making this week, though. Not too much. Like, Anchorage opened, finally. I did do a little bit of crafting before that. But then I was away over the weekend, and then Anchorage opened on Monday. We were doing Anchorage, and I haven't. My main has just been busy since then, so I haven't really had time to recraft. So there's that. But I still made gold. I had an absolutely insane amount of sales this week, 5,500. I think that's a new record for me for a week. This includes a bunch. I flipped a large number of dark runes this week, and that worked really well. I've not been getting any sales at all from the logistics badge turn-in materials that I was hoping to sell in Cenarion Hold. So I'll try spamming the macro more tomorrow. Hopefully I can get some people biting. It looks like most of the people who are doing it right now are prepared, essentially, which is sort of surprising, because a lot of the hardcore like streamers from top guilds were not prepared. So I guess the dad gamers who are doing it now are prepared, and then the other people will just do it slowly as they get reps, so I might have screwed up there. We'll see. I did start restocking again a little bit, but it's been very hard to find materials, essentially. So very, very hard to get the enough materials for anything. Herbs are rising rapidly in price. Same for the solid stones. Like, it's incredibly hard. I haven't been able to craft goblin sapper charges for a week, essentially, just because the prices are so high on the solid stones. But it is what it is. I can't really do anything about that, so I'll just have to live with it. We'll see if I can find some more interesting things to flip. I was considering trying the rogue farm in Anchorage 20, but the prices on the idols and stuff like that, they're already tanked. So that seems completely pointless. I'm just going to stick to crafting, essentially, because that seems to work really well right now, as it does always. It will be interesting to see once we hit sort of the equilibrium for AQ40 or Phase 5. We're not there yet at all on my realm, so everything is a little bit up in the air still. Price is changing. But yeah, it's a new raid, always a time of profit. So war profiteering is definitely a thing in Classic. I can guarantee you that. Not just Classic, it's always a thing in WoW, essentially. Alright, so now it's time for the next subject. Like, what's going on with the game? Now, for retail, I'm going to focus on Shadowlands, obviously, and what's coming. Now, one thing that's been mentioned recently is they're adding a crafted armor mark that you can use as an optional reagent when crafting items from all expansions. And that will increase the item level to item level 100. So this is going to be on the level. This is going to be the primary gearing option for gearing out alts in preparation for Shadowlands. I think this is coming in the pre-patch as well. And this will likely put a real damper on the uncanny market. Because while you can craft uncanny gear, which requires you to scrap thousands of bracers, or you can just craft like Legion level gear that doesn't have a BOP material requirement or any other expansion, and just slap on an armor mark and boom, it's relevant at level 50. So you should definitely look for old expansion crafts and use these armor marks. Definitely you'll have to use trade chat probably a little bit just to highlight that these items exist, because it might take a little while for players to catch on, because they're more familiar with the uncanny markets and the relevant BFA craftables. But it should be very interesting. We also keep getting some new recipes from Shadowlands. I think the most interesting one that came out this week is that we're getting an alchemy consumable that's similar to the free action potion in Classic. Of course, this is one of the strongest consumables in Classic. It's incredibly good, both for PvE and PvP, and sells really, really well. So it's going to be interesting to see where they allow it. But that could definitely be a good seller, or it could be a complete dud if it's only useful in world PvP or whatever, which people don't really engage that much in retail WoW. So we'll see. Now for Classic, of course, we're in Phase 5. It's been out for a while. Markets should be stabilizing now on most realms. On my realm, it's not stabilized at all yet, because Anchorage literally just opened, because we're slow boomer dads. Not the worst, but relatively the server is on the casual side of the spectrum. But yeah, definitely things are not in equilibrium yet. Prices of, for instance, Grom's Blood has spiked something insane from like 50 silver to now more than 2 gold each the last time I checked. So it's going to be ups and downs as demand and supply shift and get into the right level for where it's going to be going forward. I think a lot of guilds even didn't clear full Anchorage, probably a lot of them that left Visitus up if they didn't reaccommodate the rating schedule, but that's just on my realm. I'm sure some of you will be on realms where essentially prices have already stabilized on the new level, and that's going to indicate like which consumables people are going to prioritize when doing farm runs in Anchorage overall. That's going to be interesting to see. We did our first Anchorage raid this week. We killed C'Thun. We had one wipe on Twin Emperors. We had a couple of wipes on Trash, because Trash is harder than the bosses overall. But the instance was not that hard. Of course, we didn't do Visidus, which has the most specialized consumable requirements. But apart from that, I don't think the overall requirements for consumables is not going to be higher than Blackwing Lair. It felt like it might be even a little lower overall. But it depends on what you do on the Trash in particular, and where and when you want to use greater protection potions, which didn't feel as impactful. Like greater nature protection potion feels a little bit more limited in Anchorage compared to the greater fire protection potions in Molten Core and Blackwing Lair, where they are really, really good. So it'll just be interesting to see. Now, this week we have a question from our patrons. What materials are you keeping into Shadowlands, and when are you looking to fire sale? Now, I don't really have that much in terms of BFA materials on me, because I haven't done any large-scale BFA crafting in a while. Now, generally, in older expansions, the only thing I've held on to is materials needed in crafting armor. That's the only thing that makes sense to hold on to. Materials needed in enchants and consumables and stuff like that. The enchants and consumables typically become really bad once the new expansion is out. So bad that they don't really sell. There are some differences. There are some old-world consumables that sell. I even flipped some of them successfully. But overall, the sale rate is very low. And the material prices typically crater and never really recover. Now, items used in armor, they will often recover a bit eventually down the line when completionist cosmetic collectors start buying the gear for cosmetic purposes or for transmog. That does mean that I'm personally not trying or planning to keep any materials, really. Because I haven't done much crafting, I'll just be selling off my BOEs that I'm flipping. There's that. The items that you definitely want to get out of, that's stuff used in food, stuff used in alchemy, stuff used in non-cosmetic items. There's that. Items that don't have any cosmetic use, those you want to get out of. Items that are used in cosmetics, items that are used in the mounts, those you can keep. And they'll probably eventually rebound in value. And they'll hit a low point sometime after Shadowlands launches, which is the typical time frame for this. So that's it. Now, let's turn our attention to the discussion point this week. So this week on the WoW Economy Reddit, there was a very interesting post by a pulsating sack or Mr. Tiki. Because he had run an experiment that went incredibly well. He made 5 million gold in profit in a single week, just flipping one item. He did it on 18 different realms, though, from the spreadsheet he shared. But that's still an insane amount of profit in a single week. It's incredibly impressive, and it highlights the value of multiple realms, because this would be completely impossible on a single realm. There just wouldn't be enough people in the market he was in. Is also the value of flipping. Now, of course, he did spend a lot of time. He said he spent at least 8 hours per day. So there's that. But that's still a pretty hefty amount of profit and pretty good gold per hour as well. Yeah, there's that. Now, we're going to take a look at the item he used and sort of see why it worked so well for flipping. And because there are obviously going to be many more items that are in a similar sort of state where they will work really, really well for flipping. Now he focused on the Abyssal Fragment. This is a random world drop in Nashatar. And you need 20 of these to get access to, and then you can use those to get a mount from Nashatar, essentially. The item is a very rare world drop, so they're typically not going to be like hundreds of these on a realm. On smaller realms, there may not even be enough for the full 20 to get the mount. So that's obviously number one reason that makes it a great flip. It's very rare. And supplies mostly by random players just killing stuff in Nashatar. Might be some multiboxers doing some kind of farming, but I don't think that there are any. There aren't any super famous 2x4 or hyperspawn farming spots in Nashatar, at least not that I'm aware of. The other side of things, demand is extremely spiky, and that's really, really good for flipping. When someone is buying, they'll not buy one. They'll buy however many they need. They'll buy 10 or 20. So people get these one by one randomly over weeks and weeks and months, and then someone comes along and buys 20 of them. That's going to drive up the price heavily when they go buy. So that's an extremely good sort of market structure for flipping. This is like, okay, we get random people getting these items, and they'll just post them whenever they get them. And then someone will come up and want 20 of them, and he'll just have 10 at a reasonable price, and then the next 5 are at a higher price, and he'll buy those too because it's still okay. It's not like not going to break his bank. So that's a very, very good item to flip. It's also extremely annoying to farm, which means that the opportunity cost in farming it yourself, probably not a good idea. And it's also, there's just so many good things about flipping abyssal fragments. It's also extremely hard for players who get it to understand whether or not it has value. It's just a fragment, okay, you can combine it, okay, does that matter? Unless you go research that item, you're not going to know what you have. You're not going to know that it's valuable. So that's also a good thing, because people will be willing to, okay, I got this random item, and I sold it for 500 gold. Okay, cool, that's better than nothing. That's way better than vendoring some crap. And he utilized, like Mr. Techie or Pulsating Stack, utilized all of this. He used Trade Chat extensively to sell the item. With a chat macro that linked the mount, so players knew what they were buying. And that's very important in these kinds of armor markets, where it's a little bit obscure what the item is, or rather why it's useful. So this is going to be the same with crafted armor from old expansions that have been item level boosted in the pre-patch in Shadowlands. You're going to want to do the same thing there. Now, of course, like the time requirement to always be on was definitely a factor here, and this means that replicating the 5 million profit is not going to be too easy. And I'm not going to focus too much on how you do exactly the same market as him, but rather to look at why the abyssal fragments work so insanely well for this, and to highlight the extreme value he gets from multiple realms, because this is a very small market. Relatively speaking, there aren't that many abyssal fragments on any given realm. So one player can very easily probably saturate the market for flipping abyssal fragments. Like they'll buy out the market, whether that's 10 or 20 fragments or 30 even, when the price is good. And this is something that will be within reach for very many players to do. It's not going to be that expensive, because these fragments aren't super expensive. It's just a mount. And they're not that rare. So that's how you can... So that's why being on multiple realms is so good. Because he could dominate the market probably on multiple realms while playing as much as he did. So if you can find similar items, if you can focus on very niche items, they can be cosmetics, but where players don't necessarily know what they have, because they don't realize right away that this is a useful or valuable item when they get it, where the supply side is dominated not by hardcore players, so by players who might not know what the value of things or not care about the value of things, and where demand is very variable, then you have a good candidate for flipping. And this abyssal fragment just sort of exemplifies many of the characteristics you want to have for a perfect flipping item. So kudos to Mr. Ticket. This was extremely impressive. If you haven't checked out the Reddit post, you should do so. You can just look for it by searching for 5 million profit. I'm also going to have the link in the podcast episode description. So you can just head to the podcast description on my blog and you'll find it. So very, very cool. I'm very glad that he shared as well, because that means we can can look at his data and just be impressed and see how well you can do if you focus on a very, very small cosmetic market. Just because I don't do cosmetics that much doesn't mean it's bad. Like, it's obviously the potential is huge in many things in World of Warcraft. So you don't have to do it like I do. You can find your own way, and you should find your own way, because that is always going to be the best. Now, guys, that's going to be the end of this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did and you want to read more about gold making, you can do so at thelazygoldmaker.com. If you want to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/thelazygoldmaker. And with a final thank you to my patrons, I wish you all a very profitable week. Goodbye, guys.